Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
This is real radio.
On 670 The Score.
Glory Days by The Boss. Playing in the background here at Wrigley. And Cub fans dancing. Cubs lead 4-0. It's not over yet, but let's see if Kyle Hendricks can keep mowing down the Redbirds. In all my years in baseball, Ron, and it's coming up on four decades, or maybe even a little more, including minor league ball.
Mm-hmm.
I always chuckle when I hear Bruce Springsteen talk about that speedball.
I had a friend who was a big baseball player back in high school. He could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool boy.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone in the game refer to a fastball as a speedball. He could throw that speedball boy by you. Or boy, yeah.
Maybe that's why you didn't hear it.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
They're not booing me, folks. They're just yelling Coomer.
Coomer.
Oh, we love this guy. This hour on The Score brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. Man, we got a lot of plates spinning here.
Literally.
Yeah, literally, because we got food from everywhere. We got food from Aurelio's, courtesy of Jeremy Roenick, who told a story about drinking and gambling with Michael Jordan, 36 holes and 10 beers, and then he went and dropped 40-something. We looked it up. March 28th, 1992, Jordan hangs 44 on the Cavs, and they win by 24. Unbelievable. And then we got the Coom Dog here, Coom's Corner, the site of Bears pre and post this Sunday right here on The Score. What's up, Ron Coomer?
Not too much. How you doing, boys? You got a smorgasbord of Italian food, and we got restaurant. We got Joe Riley came in, and pizzas. It's all good.
Yeah. I know
we're not losing weight here today. I promise you that.
And I appreciate you saying I look okay.
You're
but
looking
I
good.
I'm not any closer to those 34 waist pants than I was when I saw you last. I promise that. Football season does that to me. I'd rather sit on my ass and eat the skin of a chicken like you brought in for us. Who can discard the skin of a chicken? I mean, the skin is the best part of the chicken, right?
Point taken, yeah. Absolutely.
How's Coom's Corner going? How's the restaurant?
We are doing very well. We're doing good. I'm not screwing it up yet. Had my head chef, Dean McWilliams, brought lasagna and I think meatballs and sausage and chicken and stuff here. So, yeah, we're doing very good. It's a fun venture. I'm doing something in my hometown where I went to high school. So we're involved with the high school. We're involved with the grade school. We're involved with widget football and all the little things that go on, in your hometown. And so that's a great thing. We're going to do a big holiday, mittens and scarves and, things like that.
A coat drive,
yeah,
if you will.
Coat drives and all those things.
Ron
we're Coomer's doing all that.
Having his own coat drive.
We're doing all that. So, to me, that's the fun stuff about being in your hometown, right?
That's nice.
The cool, yeah.
Well, this Sunday, November 10th, the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show, Hub, Manley, and Olin from 9 to noon, followed by a two-hour postgame show with Hub, Patrick Manley, and James Big Cat Williams, brought to you by Miller Lite at Coom's Corner Sports and Grill in Lockport. That is 1225 East 9th Street in Lockport. So it's going to be fun to do a remote broadcast out there. How's your offseason been? Good?
Very good. Yep. Watched all the playoffs. I got to watch the World Series. I spent a little time in Clearwater Beach. On vacation during the World Series, so I watched the games from there and thought the World Series was fun. It was, the games were...
It was good, yeah.
It was fun to watch. Very unpredictable. And historic, because nobody's ever won every away game, right? I mean, we've never seen that, but it was good, and, I got a little downtime, so I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back in Chicago and ready to watch a Bears game this Sunday from our place with everybody, so I appreciate all the guys coming out. But, yeah, I've been having a good time. Yeah.
How do you think David Ross will be different from Joe Maddon? You know both of them so well. How will they be different?
That's a great question. I would say Rossi being a guy who's just off the field, that will be very different. He has his own ideas of how baseball is played and what goes on from being removed for 2 or 3 years. So that'll be different. He will be much more vocal, I would think, in the clubhouse. Joe was not a very vocal guy in the clubhouse. He left the clubhouse to the players and his coaches. He was very vocal during the game and very great communication during the ball game with his guys as they went past him or they were going up to hit. So that'll be different. The one thing that people are talking about or wondering about Rossi is him not having that quality to be hard on or stern with his guys. That's the last thing that will be a problem for him. He's had some knockdown dragouts on the mound with Lester.
Right.
And I've seen in David's, you know, he's a catcher and he's stern, and that will not be the problem for David.
There was a lot of chatter after the season from the front office, and Jed Hoyer did it on our show, Ron, that you know, maybe a firmer hand is what's needed with this team. That I just with Joe Maddon not being willing to change, nor should he have been. If that in fact is true, why didn't one of the players step up and provide that sandpaper, for lack of a better word, to keep an edge? Was it in fact missing an edge in your mind?
Well, there could have been there. Yeah, at times I would say that's probably, you know, accurate. There comes a time where these young guys had so much success when they first got into the league, and they're still really young. Sometimes complacency sets in with some of them. We saw that. We saw some young guys take a step backwards, not forwards, and some of them got sent to the minor leagues, and we saw that. And I think that all is part of it. There are times where, you know, I'm always under the belief that you look in the mirror. It's your career, not the manager's career, not the general manager's career. And I really think some of the guys, you know, and you can understand why, had such, you know, so much success early. And I think, you know, might have got a little complacent, and now that's changing. Who on the veteran, you know, maybe a Rizzo, maybe a
Rizzo's
John Lester.
Supposed to be the captain.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. And, you know, I can't say that he's not that guy at all. I see him daily at the ballpark, and, you know, I don't have that answer not being in the clubhouse.
Jed said he wants more team stuff, guys not doing so much stuff just on their own. Now, I don't know if he means specifically sharing information about pitchers when they're around the cage. What's he talking about?
I know exactly what he means. He wants a unified time that the guys are on the field. That was one thing that did not happen at all. It was a optional hitting on a daily basis. So that means at home most of the time, because of the time of day in all the day games, the position players were not accountable to being at a certain stretch time and having a team stretch. They could go to the cage inside. Then they could go out and hit on the field if they wanted. There would be a lot of days where 3 guys would hit, 4 guys would hit on the field, and guys would stay inside. So I think they want more of the traditional way that baseball is, where at 4:15 it's stretch for the whole team. Then at 4:20, we, you know, 4:25, we're on the field. Everybody takes BP. Everybody takes ground balls together. I think that's what he's talking about.
How unique is that, though, to the Cubs? Because, like, I remember hearing Joe talk about, you know, back in the day, we'd go out on the road and you'd have some beers, or you'd go out to dinner or something like that. And now you go to your hotel room and you play video games, or you're on your phone. And I'm like, well, that's not that. Even if that's true, like, that's. They're doing that on the White Sox. They're doing that on the Reds. They're doing that on the Phillies. It's not like the Cubs are the only team with guys who like to be on their phones and play video games. So I wonder if it's just the modern times and all of that, or if that was something that was, like, uniquely a problem to the Cubs.
I don't know. I look at the game was changing, and people were the players were changing as I was leaving playing. I really believe, though, and maybe I'm misunderstanding the question, but I really believe that what you're looking at, what Joe was looking at, is the reason was the day game. If certain guys felt like they needed more rest than they needed standing out on a field taking ground balls,
yeah,
he'd rather them do that. And he was very vocal about that. Did it go too far? Did some guys take too much advantage of that? I think that's what you're hearing from Jed and Theo. So you're going to see a much more structured baseball team.
I hope it matters because like it feels to me like a lot of nibbling around the edges, to be honest with you. Like they and I said it to Jed when he was on, like they've got a new director of pitching and a director of hitting, and they're empowering different people and they're restructuring it. But they are internal candidates. And then the massage therapist is gone and the yoga person is gone and they're just replaced with other people. And the roster, we'll see how different it is. But if you just rearrange a bunch of deck chairs, but you don't change the nucleus of the team, I'm worried that you're just going to be repeating 2018 and 2019.
Well, you don't know. First of all, we don't know that you're just shuffling the deck.
We don't know yet.
We don't know that.
The offseason hasn't happened fully.
The people that have been let go have been let go, from the strength coach and Tim Buss to, you know, the massage therapist and yoga and all the things that were going on there have all been removed. One of the trainers has been removed. Lester Strode has been let go. So there has been some moves. Who gets brought into those if those positions are filled? You never know. It could
because
it
I just struggle with, like, and I know I'm not like the analytics end-all be-all guy. I like to blend it all together. But to me, like, who's the center fielder? Who's the second baseman?
Yeah.
What core guy is getting traded?
Is the bullpen going to be better? Who's the leadoff man? It's, yeah.
Those are the real questions. There's no doubt.
And so this just feels kind of superfluous to me so far.
For right now, absolutely. But that's baseball. Right? Nobody has done anything yet. And the winter meetings are coming up. The GM meetings, I think, are coming in another next week. Is that right? So I think it's coming, right? I mean,
yeah.
So that's when we'll be able to answer those questions, Danny. And you're right. But these moves, if that's what you wanted to do, had to be made now.
Agreed.
To prepare for what you're getting as far as coaching staff, the staff on the field that are going to make an impact on the guys daily. And then who you're bringing in, to your point, Mac and Danny, to your point of what you're going to see in the lineup every day.
Yeah, I want to be clear. This is not like a conclusive, write it in ink, you know, definitive criticism of it. I am hopeful that these will not be the biggest moves of the offseason.
No, I will promise you they're not. Okay. I just there's no way.
Ron Coomer with us in studio, McNeil and Parkins, and this Coom's Corner this coming weekend, your place for Bears pre and post with our usual gang of bandits out there eating the salmon and the chicken and everything else. It sounds like it's going to be a terrific party. Would Chris Bryant be better served with a new atmosphere, change of address?
Possibly. You know, you don't know. I think KB has dealt with a lot of nagging injuries the last couple of years. You know, this year the shoulder, and you know, I think it was his hand the year before. So could you say that about any player? You know, that's my point. I don't know if you put it on KB, you put it on whoever it is. To me, what's going to happen, to the point, the guy that can bring the most and fill the most holes of your ball club, I think that's the underlying question of what Theo is really getting at. Who it's going to be, the question mark, who? Is it going to be KB? It might be. It very, very well might be. And he might end up doing better being somewhere else. Who knows? Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Jeremy Roenick. And
fire away.
That was a very tough bar to clear.
Uh-huh.
Who's the coolest person you've ever golfed with?
Ooh.
What's your best on golf course story?
On golf course story.
Because he had presidents, he had Michael Jordan. What do you got? What do you got for us, Ron Coomer?
Let's see.
Yeah, Jordan and Dan Quayle on the same day.
I can't beat that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I can't beat that. Who is the best?
Did you ever golf with Jeter?
Yeah, I've golfed with Darian, all the Yankees, all my teammates.
Okay, I was trying to help him out here.
Did he give you a gift basket after you walked off 18?
No, I don't have the right equipment for that. But
there we go. Have you ever golfed with
just saying.
Have you ever golfed with the president?
I have not. I have met a few of the presidents, but I have not golfed with them.
Okay.
No, I have not.
Ever golfed with Eddie Vedder?
No, why would we waste time doing that? That would be
just axe throwing.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. For his sake, I'd rather sit and have a cocktail and have him play his guitar or play the piano. And
you made him perform for you.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, have we hung out and had a lot of fun? Yeah. Okay. Would we let golf get in the way of that? We could have.
Yeah.
Now, I've played baseball with Eddie. So Eddie's been in fantasy camp, and we've done that before. And, you know, him and Chelios were all in camp together with Cusack. I mean, they were all there, and that was entertainment.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Hockey players are great guys, typically, aren't they?
They're 10.
Now, I saw you out in the hallway BSing with Roenick. First time you guys have been around?
We met years ago in Scottsdale. You know, that was an entertaining night, too. So. but it was, you know,
he's there until last call, usually. Yeah.
I can honestly say we both were. I'm not going to say he wasn't in Iowa. Yeah, he's a great guy. We've had a lot of fun. And they are. Have you met a hockey guy that you didn't like?
Not many.
Right?
They're
good dudes. They're regular guys. They play hard. They work hard. They're just good, solid guys.
You got a golf answer for me yet, Cody?
I don't. I've golfed with the Fisks and all the Hall of Fame players, you know, and things like that. Some actors, Chris O'Donnell, played golf with him.
There you go.
Chicago guy.
There you go.
I hit on the range, which was really funny. What's his name? Norm from Cheers.
George Wentz.
George Wentz. Yep.
Big hitter.
Not so much.
Really?
Very entertaining, but not. Yeah, he was at Frank Thomas's golf tournament.
I assume he had the cart to himself.
Yeah. He was very entertaining. Much quieter guy than I had anticipated.
George's?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I've had
All right, some golfers, some guys out there. Texter wants to know if you've ever golfed with Bob Uecker, ever drank with Bob Uecker.
Yes and yes. I was in a golf tournament with Uke in Scottsdale. It was Harmon Killebrew's event. So Harmon Killebrew is a golf event out there. And Uke, the last time I ever saw Kirby Puckett, a Chicago guy, alive before Puck passed, was at Harmon's golf event it was in Scottsdale, one of the courses there. And we get done playing, and all the ex-players and athletes and celebrities go to the bar at the course, and it was roped off. And Uke had Puck laughing so hard that Puck literally fell off his bar stool on the floor laughing and begging Uke to stop. And we were all together that night, and 2 months later, Puck passed right as we started spring.
Always leave him laughing.
Yeah,
I know. It was
you said,
sad,
you said it was a funny story.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was hilarious.
Kirby
so
Puckett, Puck, Calumet High School, yeah, I think. Yeah, yeah. I was the Caucasian Kirby Puckett of the Highland Summer Leagues in
go.
The 70s. I like to keep his name alive by mentioning that every now and again.
That's the only way people will remember Kirby Puckett, by copying him to Mac in high school.
Nothing about that 87 series the Twins were in.
The home run or anything like that.
Coombs Corner Sports Grill in Lockport this Sunday. The Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame and postgame show brought to you by Miller Lite. Go see the guys at Coombs Corner. Thank you, Coom.
Thank you, guys. Love listening to you guys. It's kind of my way of getting my sports fixed during the off season.
Pick up the phone anytime, man.
Yeah, feel free to weigh in.
You wish
we need some positivity around us, bud.
Teddy Greenstein in 20 minutes. Then I got a surprise for the guys at 5 on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With the inactions of Valentine and Felicio, Zarinski on the left wing throws it down with a power right-handed dunk. And the Bulls bench explodes in front of Thomas Zarinski.
Mac, that is your guys. I mean, it's a Super Bowl of words.
Are you kidding me? Lots of S's, the whistle. And I'm regarding the chicken from Coombs Corner today as victory chicken, since we haven't had any on a Monday in quite some time. The Bulls won last night. That's right.
Okay.
Zadoransky on the left wing throws it down. Thomas Zadoransky.
Zadoransky. He's playing aggressively tonight, Big Bill.
How about Weddington when we were talking to him at the UC being like, yeah, Swirsk just ignores me all game. just that he's there in his own world doing his own. I actually like that idea of Swirsk. He's doing a solo show and Bill Weddington just occasionally shows up in his orbit.
Yeah, well, the Bulls deserve all the credit in the world for playing four quarters last night. 48 minutes
that was
of
nice
basketball.
Game.
No dilly bars for a fine three-quarter effort and You get the whole whack. Lauren suggested the peanut buster parfait. That's a little bit more expensive than the dilly bar. If you want a banana split, Thomas Zadoransky, you've earned it. Ooh.
Thomas Zadoransky.
God, it was nice to see a team with, real point guard play and taking out the other team's best player.
It was different.
It was a nice little change of pace for the Bulls. I'm not going to get used to it, but...
Well, who's up next for our heroes? Who do they have next?
The Bears have the Lions, Mac.
Well, and the Hawks are home tonight with Vancouver. By the way, a texter asked
Rockets.
Earlier in the show. Hopefully he's still listening. He doesn't miss a minute. Where does that the Hawks bite come from? It cracks me up every time.
Milberry?
Mike Milberry. Wrong analyst. Mike Milberry. He was just talking about the Hawks, and Liam McHugh picks up on the thought and asks him a question, and he forgot who they were talking about. The Hawks?
The Hawks?
Why it's so funny, yeah.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves youth hockey program presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves.
The Bulls have Houston Saturday night at the United Center, and then the Knicks come call it on Tuesday night.
Yes, yeah, I mean, we're going to have some Bulls tickets lying around
Saturday
at some point.
Tuesday. Got any tickets lying around? We'll give them
away. Any tickets laying around? Let me know.
I got to have them.
It's not a bad game. Go out, see Russell Westbrook. Go see James Harden. Did you guys see what Darren Revelle tweeted from, he found it on Reddit or someone showed it to him on Reddit?
No, I never see anything he tweets.
I don't blame you.
Was it about the mattress man in Houston?
It was not. This is actually, Tanny, I'm with you on Revelle. It's basically just a calculator on Twitter, sponsored.
A lot more annoying calculator.
But someone on Reddit did an analysis of James Harden's production based on the quality, the caliber of strip club in the Road City, because James Harden is such an aficionado of the Gentleman's Club. He has his jersey retired in a couple of Houston establishments for all of the money that he's spent down there. And they said that there was a correlation to improved play in cities with lesser quality strip clubs.
So he does, improved play when they don't have great strip. Okay.
No, so like he plays poorly in Miami. He plays poorly in Atlanta. He plays poorly in the good strip club cities.
Yeah.
Because, and that's, it's just a theory on Reddit. And I mean, come on, whoever got
Phoenix
anything.
Phoenix also used to be renowned. I don't know. Back when I used to do those things, I always regarded the Bourbon Street Circus on Thomas Road as the gold standard of gentlemen's establishments.
I mean,
gentlemen's club.
Different strokes for different folks.
What a dopey ass name.
I just remember seeing that, like, James Harden got a $180 million deal and he celebrated a strip club and they raised his jersey to the rafters or Raptors at a strip club in Houston. Jersey number one is going to the Raptors. So there you go. There's that NBA life.
I like it. The strip club, not for me. It hasn't been for many, many years. I don't know if it's anybody else around here.
I've spent plenty of money and plenty of time, but...
It never came up when we were in Arizona together. I don't think we had one conversation
about
slipping away from Score House and going to a strip club.
Nah, I'm basically retired.
Wow.
I had a long run. I've been to Vegas 15 times, man. Like I've been to Vegas a lot of times in my young age. I would go a couple times a year. We would do fantasy drafts out there. I've been with Steph. Like, I mean, we've done that thing. So
okay.
Been there, done that.
I haven't been in one in probably 15 more, maybe 20 years. I bet it's been that long.
It's been less than that for me. But yeah, probably 2 or 3 at this point. 3 years. Somewhere around there.
Well, we can pass 50. You can't. It has to be less.
Yeah, that was the joke.
Get in 15 years ago.
That was. Gotcha. You're older than I am.
Gotcha.
You see what's happening? This segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão and Brazilian Steakhouse. For a limited time, enjoy the best of Brazil for just $39 at Fogo de Chão and Brazilian Steakhouse. Enjoy Brazilian cuts like prime lamb steak and picanha sirloin, traditional sides, and the extensive market table for $39 in Chicago, Rosemont, or Naperville. Reservations at Fogo.com. We got a Mike Francesa call we can squeeze in here before we get to Teddy Greenstein, because we really just have to decide if we like less callers or Francesa prank callers more. I don't know. It really just depends on the mood. But the idea of a good prank caller getting Mike Francesa after Fartgate, and now that he's announced
his retirement. What do we want? Do we want a prank, or do we want two guys talking about the women's reproductive system?
Ooh. Should we take a vote?
That's what titillated me in our show meeting
today. It's better. Yeah.
It's better? Okay, well, Tanny, I will, of course, defer to you. So, Mike Francesa on Female Anatomy.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Congratulations. I'm on my way to Baltimore to watch my daughter play.
Good.
I'll stop.
Good. What school does she go to?
Loyola, Maryland.
Okay, good.
And, yeah, she's in the torn playoffs now, and she tore both ACLs.
Ooh.
She just did a great job.
You know, women have more ACL. I learned this from Dr. O'Brien. Women have more ACL tears than men do.
Yeah, Dr. Kodasko, I don't mean to, give him a pub, but he did a fabulous job.
Good.
He said, the women are built, they're built differently, their hips, and it's just, I read a whole article.
Also, it has to do with menstrual cycle and everything else, too, where they feel, and they have, women have they have 6-to-1 surgical knees to men in college. 6-to-1.
I think I know what he's trying to say.
Do you really?
six times more light. Yeah, six times.
ACL surgery because
of
I'm Googling it right now. Women are 6 times more likely to tear their ACL because of their menstrual cycles. Is that what he just claimed? Like, what if I Google that? Like, what even is going to come back? Am I going to get fired for Googling? That's insane.
So we've learned about menstruation that it attracts bears and it makes you likely to tear your ACL.
He says he implies they're related.
Well, wow. Okay, so ACL injuries are 4 to 6 times more likely to happen in a female athlete.
Oh, yeah, right. That's okay. I understood what he was saying with that, but how is it related to menstruation?
I assume it's not. Mac.
Causation, correlation.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. I'm shocked he got the ACL fact right. Like, I thought none of that was true, but now that 25% of it's true, I'm willing to explore the rest of it.
I'm trying to get my head around the science of it, and I'm not able to connect any dots whatsoever on this one.
It seems
you anybody?
No, like I said, I thought that 100% of those things were fact errors, but they weren't. So, it's possible.
Jeez.
Why? I can't even imagine why he's retiring with calls like that.
He's something else.
It's time to go. Yeah, it's time to end.
And what do you think instead of Fizdale, maybe they hire Jason Giambi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. It's hilarious. I mean, are you still there? Or did you leave?
Yeah.
You still there? Now explain to me why that's funny.
I'm still... Why do I think that's funny? It's fantastic.
But why is it funny? Well, explain to me why it's funny.
Wow, Mike, I mean, you sit
explain
there all day long.
Explain to me why it's
you
funny.
You sit there all day long waiting for guys to call in.
Wait a second. Explain to me why it's funny. I'm asking you to explain it to me.
Because I love how cranky you get when I call in like that.
Did I just get cranky?
Oh, you're going to get cranky. You know it.
But think about this. You sat on the phone for an hour. You sat on the phone for an hour and a half. Okay.
An hour and a half.
They pay me a ton of money to answer these to answer your calls. You get paid nothing, and you waste hours of your time, and then say something that is so patently stupid you embarrass yourself. That's because it makes no sense to anybody. Nobody thinks it's funny. Nobody thinks it's clever. It appeals to the 16-year-olds who go to one website, okay, and play that silly game. That's all it is. The rest of the people just say, what a dope that guy is. You're a grown man doing that, and you're giggling like a little 12-year-old girl. I mean, really, you're an embarrassment. That's what I would tell you, honestly. I feel sorry for you. I pity you. I got to be honest with you. I have pity for you. I'm not mad. I just have pity for you. I really do.
Guy didn't have much to say to any of that.
No,
did he?
He kind of stuck the landing, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
Still New York's number one, ladies and gentlemen. Teddy Greenstein on LSU-Bama, the college football playoff. I saw him at the Bulls game the other night, actually. Teddy G next on The Score.
Get Teddy. Get Teddy.
Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, the super utility man. He covers the Masters at Augusta. He covers the media. He covers college football. I see him at Bulls Lakers the other night. Nice little hello with John Paxson right in front of me. No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say you buried the lead.
No. Just, oh, hey, Teddy. And then just, whew.
Off he goes.
Yeah, it's okay. Teddy G, super utility man for the Tribune, friend of the show on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline. What up, Teddy?
Pax is just probably hoping I give him like a sleeve full of balls from Augusta National next time I go.
Oh, have you ever hooked him up with something from there?
I don't think I have, but maybe that's why he's being nice to me.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Just don't. Surprised I was when reading your column in today's Chicago Tribune. This is the first time since the playoff began Ohio State has had the number one position. I would have expected them to have previously landed that, but this is Buckeye Nation for real this time.
Yeah, Mac, that is a very interesting one. I mean, Ohio State started at number 16 in 2014, the year they rose all the way up to number four. And then obviously won it all. I mean, that was the incredible part about that year. But it is also rather incredible that the mighty Buckeyes have not been number one. But it makes sense in that, you know, they haven't had a defense like this in the playoff era. They've had incredible offenses, but nothing like a total team. I mean, it's like an all-star team. And I was just looking at it. They were 14-1 at the start of the season to win it all. And now that's down to 2-1. So if you got them at 14-1, congrats. Wow. That could be a very valuable ticket.
Do the college football playoff rankings mean anything right now?
Danny, the only thing they mean is it gives you kind of an early perception of how the committee feels about certain leagues. And in this case, there is some significance, I believe, when you look at Ohio State being number one and Penn State being number four. The Ohio State thing is interesting because, you know, they didn't play really anyone good in the non-conference. I mean, Cincinnati is fine, but Cincinnati's a non-Power 5 team. Other than that, it was, you know, Florida Atlantic and Miami of Ohio. So I really thought LSU would be number one based on a better resume. So the fact that the committee has Ohio State number one means they're using more of the look test, the eye test, and that they see the Buckeyes as, you know, the best. And then the fact that Penn State is above Clemson, your Clemson Tigers, is significant because if Penn State goes into Columbus in a couple weeks and loses 37-34, you know, Penn State's going to say, hey, we lost on the road to the number one team, and if we finish 11-1, then we should be ahead of, let's say, a Big 12 champion Oklahoma that has one loss, or a Pac-12 championship team that has one loss. So that's why I think it is significant, because right now the committee is showing a lot of respect for the Big Ten.
It would hurt, though, that the loss came late, wouldn't it?
It's not supposed to. It's really not supposed to matter if it's early or late. I mean, they are human beings. So, you know, when Ohio State rose from 16-4, it probably helped at that point that it was an early loss to Virginia Tech. But really, you know, look, there'd be no shame in losing to the top team on the road. So it shouldn't matter at that point if it's, you know, the next to last game of the season.
The only reason I don't think that it matters, it's great TV, and they schedule it to be great TV with when they release it right on Tuesdays, and it's right. little discussion, and hey, remember there's a playoff that's coming, but LSU and Bama are going to play each other, and then Ohio State and Penn State are going to play each other. So when people are freaking out, like, oh, Clemson's undefeated and they're outside of the top four, like, well, they don't play any of these teams, so as long as they keep winning, these teams are going to have one loss, and they're not going to turn an undefeated Clemson team away, but these other teams in front of them, they can't finish undefeated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if anybody thinks that, oh, Clemson's in trouble because it's number five, then that person doesn't have a good feel for reality. But, you know, I think it's interesting in terms of the Alabama-LSU question. Can the loser of that game still make the playoffs? And I think the answer is LSU can, because it's got this good resume and the game is in Tuscaloosa. But there is definitely a strong feeling out there that Alabama has to win this game, because otherwise its best victories are, you know, Texas A&M and Auburn. And that would mean that Alabama has lost to an SEC West team at home. So, yeah, I mean, pick and choose. It doesn't really matter. It certainly doesn't matter that Clemson's five. It probably doesn't matter that Minnesota is all the way down to 17, because Minnesota's best victory so far has come against Illinois or Georgia Southern. But, you know, in the example I was given earlier, the fact that Penn State is that high, I think speaks well for the Nittany Lions' chances of getting in with one tight loss.
Is the oft-teased P.J. Fleck going to be the Big Ten Coach of the Year?
You don't think it's Fitz is going to go back-to-back this year?
It's not looking good.
Not looking good. Right now, well, Ryan Day is also looking good for that award, so as is James Franklin. Let's see how this plays out. If you had to award it today, I think you'd go PJ, but again, I mean, Minnesota's 8-0, but hadn't beaten anybody. So this one is huge. Penn State comes to town, two 8-0 teams. You know, PJ was lobbying hard to get game day there. It didn't happen because they're going to Tuscaloosa, but yeah, Minnesota can make an incredible statement here by beating Penn State, 7-point dogs, and should be a really interesting game.
I love the idea of how long that must have taken ESPN executives. Like, do we go to LSU, Alabama, or Minnesota, Penn State? I just can't figure out which one I think they're going to choose.
Yeah, plus it's, you know, 11 degrees in the Twin Cities probably for Saturday morning, which is great for an outdoor show.
Having been to Tuscaloosa just once, I can say with assuredness, if you're one of those people who wants to go around the country to find the cool college football venues, put that on your hit list. It is everything it's advertised to be. It is a great party. And all of it in the quad, I was stunned. It was, wow. The way it's described, it's like, well, how good can it be? It is something else. And out-of-towners, you're more than welcome to join the tailgates.
Danny Mac, I've not been. Shame on me. I'm dying to go there, dying to go to Auburn, and certainly go to Ole Miss, go to Oxford. I hear it's a feast for the eyes there in more ways than one. So I got to do this, you know. I mean, the Tribune is not so big on sending us to, like, SEC games these days. So maybe I just got to call in sick on one Saturday and say, screw it, I'm going anyway.
So what's your pick? Let's start with the Big Ten game, Penn State, Minnesota.
I'm going to take Minnesota plus the points. I'm only going to make these picks points-wise. You know, the scary thing about picking Minnesota is that Penn State has a really good defensive front, a lot of pressure. So I think they're going to basically say, hey, Minnesota, if you want to beat us, you know, Tanner Morgan, you're going to have to do it. But I'll tell you what, I mean, Tanner Morgan might be only an average quarterback in the Big Ten, But Minnesota actually has really, really good wide receivers by Big Ten standards. Maybe not Ohio State standards, but certainly every other team. So I think, you know, Penn State has just had a lot of tough games lately. I mean, at Iowa, that, you know, that whiteout game from Michigan, at Michigan State. It's kind of a lot to ask a team to come back week after week after week. They did have the off week last week, but still, I think it sets up well for Minnesota to either win or keep it close. So that's my pick there.
And then what about LSU-Bama, game of the year?
Yeah, I'm also going to take the points here. And, Danny, I want to hear your take on this afterwards. And maybe this is more wishful thinking than reality. I certainly wouldn't put any actual money on LSU. But I just think that, you know, Alabama's defense can be had a little bit this year. You know, you look at the quarterbacks in this game. I mean, they're both fantastic. Joe Burrow is completing 78.8% of his passes. He's great under pressure. You know, it's just a really incredible offense. Now, the scary part is if you take LSU, that means you're picking Ed Orgeron over Nick Saban, which is seems to be the dumbest thing in the world. But if you look at it, if Tua's ankle is not 100%, and that's really the wild card here, you know, he relies on mobility. And if he's only 75 or 80%, I think that's going to be a problem. Obviously, Alabama has the best receiving core in the nation. But I think LSU is good enough with that offense to keep it close. What's your take?
Until proven otherwise, Clemson and Alabama are better than every program in the country. So yeah. The linebacker for LSU left for personal reasons, the guy who leads the team in sacks. Listen, Burrows is nice. LSU is nice. Their resume is nice. But Bama is at a different level until proven otherwise with everyone. This is a must-win game for their program based on some of the doubters. And it's their only real showcase opportunity this year because of the scheduling quirks until the SEC championship game, obviously.
Yep.
So, yeah, I will say that Bama wins and covers.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare talk you out of that. That sounds like a pretty good rationale.
And, I mean, obviously, listen, they have Auburn, and that game's a big deal every year for Alabama. But in terms of statements and everything like that, this is the first chance that Bama's had this year to make a statement.
Yeah. If Tua's ankle was 100%, I would be all in with you because that passing attack is so hard to stop. And LSU does not have a great secondary, and LSU struggles to get pressure. It's not a team that gets a lot of sacks, but I'm going to hope that LSU can put up, you know, 31, 34 points and keep it a really tight game.
Don't miss your Jets Sunday. It's a rare chance for a victory, Teddy G. They've got the Giants.
Oh, like last week against the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice game.
That's a quality outfit they got there. Get the hell out. Do something else. It's funny. I was actually, not to name drop, but I was talking to Matt Forte recently, and Adam Gase was his last offensive coordinator at the Bears. So I said, all right, be honest with me. Does Adam Gase know what he's doing? Unfortunately, Matt Forte says, yes, he does know what he's doing. And he thinks the Jets are just cursed, which is funny. Forte would probably know since he played there for 2 years and had two miserable years. So the Jets are awful, and that's my destiny in life, unfortunately, to be a fan of theirs.
Teddy Greenstein, read his stuff in the Tribune. Follow him on Twitter. You hear him on our show. Teddy, enjoy the weekend, buddy.
Enjoy it. You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, man.
Thank you. That's Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune.
See, it could be worse. We talked to Len Casper about what it's like to be a Lions fan, long-standing, suffering, haven't won a playoff game since 91. Teddy G gets to root for the Jets.
We heard that rant from Ken Carmen in Cleveland about being a Brown fan.
See, there's other people suffering. Not so bad, huh?
Misery loves company.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off.
That speaking of misery. And Chris Tannehill absolutely roasted me in today's Open. You'll all enjoy that coming up. Then I got a surprise for the guys coming up on the Score.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.